The first two sections.
We're always impressed with that because of how fast it runs.
Some of the pieces really are difficult. That's not one of the harder ones.
Yeah.
But Novelty Piano can be quite pianistically challenging.
So would that fall in the category of ragtime?
That's a debate. Yeah. It's very closely related to ragtime. I tend to think that some of Confrey's novelties really are rags, but some of the novelties of the New York novelty pianists are not really rags. Like, for instance, Rube Bloom and Artie Schutt. Those people, I don't think, are writing novelty rags, but novelty pieces, whereas in Confrey's case, his Midwestern roots are so deep, I tend to think of them as rags.
In one of these albums, you've been returned to some of your own pieces, too, but since you're giving... You're also recognizing the other musicians through the years, little known. There was a guy named Clarence Jones, and you spoke of the two-step here. It's called The Candy.
The Candy, yes.
Now, this has what? This has a folk quality to it, or?
Well, to some extent it does. It's a slow, lightly syncopated rag. In effect, it begins like this.
Did a lot of these guys play for, record for piano roles?
A lot of them did, yes. And I'm sure that most of those pieces on that album were turned into mechanical roles and marketed as such. Of course, Joplin made some hand-played roles.
The what?
Joplin made hand-played roles.
He
himself.
Did a lot of them.
He did a few.
Yeah.
Did Magnetic Rag, Weeping Willow. He did W.C. Handy's Ole Miss Rag, the only one by another composer.
What's it called? Handy?
Handy's Ole Miss Rag.
Ole Miss Rag?
Uh-huh. That was Joplin's only
robot. You know that now?
Oh, I haven't heard it in
That's
so long.
All right. But do whatever you feel like doing. There's so many. What do you feel like? One of you, you've written so many. We only played a couple of them. You mentioned the early life of Larry Hoffer. Obviously, it's an intriguing title.
Well, I can show you how it... I can show you how the main theme goes. I don't play that one anymore.
No.
But
this is someone you knew?
Yes, he's a Mississippi composer who was entirely obscure. He has no recordings, no publications, but I think he's one of the most gifted people I've ever known, and I was very affected by him when I came into contact with him in college in 1973.
When was this?
This was in Hattiesburg at the University of Southern Mississippi. He was from Meridian, and... He's one of the more memorable people I've known. Let's see, part of this, I haven't thought about this piece in a long time, but I would be glad to show you. That's the opening motive.
Yeah. What do you want to play?
Well, I would like to demonstrate a couple of other of my more representative pieces. One piece I should definitely play is my best-known composition, Roberto Clemente, which isn't on either of those albums. These are just two of my five albums.
It's called Roberto Clemente.
Roberto Clemente. It's on my Pinelands Memoir album, which I didn't have a copy of.
This is what? To dedicate, remembering the ball player.
Yes, it is. It's an elegy which I wrote for Clemente in 1979. After seeing a documentary which was run during the World Series. Now, Clemente died New Year's Eve of 72, but I wasn't affected to write this until I saw this amazing documentary, which was so evocative of his life and the specialness of his character. So I wrote Roberto Clemente in the fall of 79, and it's been recorded by other people. It's a signature piece at this point in my life.
It was your piece.
Yes.